Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series, How to Connect with God. You are studying Lesson 4, Jesus Planned Your Future. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it.
Jesus is in love with you, and He has given Himself for you. He is giving Himself for you and has planned out a future for you that is absolutely beyond anything you can imagine. Father, we thank You for it. We reach into You to understand and to know more about our redemption and about the things of Jesus, and we give You all the praise and the honor and the glory for this broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about the great exchange, what Jesus did for us on the cross. And let me read off this list of things again that I read to you day before yesterday. Jesus died so that He could make us alive. Now, remember what we said about this? Remember we said, let's say the cross is standing here, and over here is the family of the world that is headed up and identifies with Adam, identifies with the fall, and identifies with the sin, and identifies with the darkness, and is lorded over by principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places. Oh, man, you know, and all the time in their heart and in their speech and in their actions, they live in the light of darkness. And Jesus said, and that happened, great is the darkness that's in them. So now, here's the cross and Jesus on the cross standing in the middle. And over here's the family of God, those that have made Jesus Christ the Lord of their lives. You remember what we read yesterday? And in fact, we've read it every day this week from the first chapter of the book of Colossians. Said, give Him thanks who hath delivered us from the authority of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. To translate means to take out of one and put into another. To translate a language is to take it out of one language and put it into another. To translate out of the kingdom of darkness and to translate into the kingdom of God's dear Son is to take out of that one and put into this one. And it happens when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Now, let's look at Jesus on the cross. Here on the cross of Calvary, He died. Now, He took their death in order to give us life. You see what we're talking about there? It's a great exchange. He took our death to give us His life. He took our sins to give us His righteousness. He took our weaknesses to give us His strength. He took our sickness and disease to give us His resurrection divine life. Now, the problem has been too much of the time, even though we've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and in our heart we've made Him Lord, and He's the head of this body. He's the head of this new race of man, this born again child of God. No race is determined. I mean, folks, let's get real, okay? God is not determining any human being by the color of his skin or his hair or his eyes or what part of the world he was born in. It has nothing whatsoever to do with it. Now, it may have something to do with the way you think and your cultural background and all that has formed your thought patterns and life patterns and everything else, but that's what I'm talking to you about. Man, you got a new background. You have a new Lord. Your Lord is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, King of kings, Lord of lords, Son of the living God. Hallelujah be to Jesus. Now, it's time for us. We've identified with Him in our hearts. We've received Him as Savior. We've received Him as Lord. If you haven't, do it now. Just say, Jesus, I repent of all that over there. Come into my heart. I turn my life and affairs over to You. I accept You as my Lord and my Savior. And He'll do it because He's been commissioned by God to do it. And He is faithful over His house. Now then, let's take a look at something here. I really do want you to get a hold of this. Let's go back for a moment. Let's take a look at what happened over here in the Garden of Eden. Here's a man that God Almighty Himself created. I mean, this is not some this guy didn't start from a amoeba in a mud hole somewhere. I mean, this man is created by God. Let's take a look at this man and let's see through the eyes of Satan. Now, you're Satan, you're Lucifer fallen. Your idea of, your idea of something is to be king of this earth, to be the greatest thing that God has ever created. And your beauty and so forth has given you the idea that that's what you are. The Bible said you were perfect in the day that you were created, but then iniquity was found in you, pride was found in you. And because of that pride, you tried to lift yourself up and all this, a catastrophe like you never dreamed could happen. You got too big for your britches and you went up against God. I mean, you know, that proves you ain't too smart because you've had the idea that you could put God down. I mean, you got to be dreaming. You're dreaming through an empty pipe, brother, because that just ain't going to happen. You should have known that, but you went against God. And you got cast down. You got left without any authority. You got left with zero, zip, nothing. You are finished. They done sent your saddle home. You ain't got nothing, nowhere, no time, no how, no way. I mean, you are a ship with a hole in the bottom. You're a cat without a place to play. You ain't got nothing, no authority over anything. I mean, you are finished, wiped out, cast out, nothing. And here you stand. You know, and you watching God, and all of this mess, well, at least I caused a mess. I mean, at least they ain't going to get no use out of that world anymore. I mean, at least I caused the biggest flood that's ever happened in history. No, this is not talking about Noah's flood. I mean, what's the matter with you? That happened a long time later. I mean, this is the disastrous flooding that you see at the fall of Lucifer. And the whole earth is flooded out. And he says, well, at least they ain't going to be able to use this for a while. At least I left them a mess, that, you know. I mean, can't you just hear the turkey talking like that? But anyway, but now all of a sudden, God says, light me! Man, rolls you back for about 18 million miles, and you trying to swim your way back out of that, and you begin to look, and all of a sudden, the universe is being redone and rebuilt and replenished. And there's this gorgeous place. Oh, no, man, at least I thought I left him a mess. And look what he's done. He's created this fabulous place. Oh, what a glorious place. Look at this beautiful thing. Oh, how I want that. Oh, I want to be God over something, and I would love to be God over that. No, man, you ain't got no authority. You ain't got nothing. Just bug off. You ain't nobody. You understand? And look what he did. He created somebody. Look at him. Oh, no. He's what I wanted to be. Oh, no. He's just like God. He looks like God. He talks like God. And, oh, look at him. And he's got this gorgeous place to live. I want that. I want. Why can't I have that? Shut up. You ain't nothing. Look at all this authority that he gives this man. Go subdue the earth and have authority over it. Oh, that wasn't enough. He made that woman. Oh, oh, oh. Ain't nobody never seen nothing like that. Oh, look at that. Would you look at that? Oh, I want that. You can't have it. Shut up. Get out of here. You ain't nothing. Belongs to him. Everything belongs to him. You belong to him. Whatever he said, you got to do. What this? And he's sitting back over there. Oh. So he thinks, I wonder if I could cheat him out of all this. And you know the rest of the story. He sneaked in there and conned the man's wife with the man standing right there next to him. And with eyes wide open, the Bible said, Satan saw a God Almighty created man, something that had never existed before, had never seen anything like this before. Lucifer, Satan, none of that, and all of his experience, he'd never seen a being like this. With all the glory of God, with God's crown on his head, and then he made a woman, something that had never existed in his most fabulous thing. The highest of all prizes in all the universe. And he sees this thing, and he's astonished that the man would even listen to him, that the man and the woman, either one, would even allow him to say anything in this garden. He's astonished that he would even listen to him. So he takes another step, and he takes another cautious step, knowing all the time that this being has the awesome power of Almighty God and could blast him into the forgetfulness of all time. I mean, we'd just be done with him. All he'd have to do is just tell him, get out of this garden by the name of God who created me and heaven and earth. Go! And that'd been the end of him, because he had the authority to do it. But instead, step by step, he stole his wife. And in order, in Adam's mind, to keep from losing her, he bowed his knee to him. And to Satan's surprise, and to his astonishment, this man, the very likeness of God, had everything that God has, is everything that God is, and owns everything that God's created, bowed his knee to him and gave him his awesome authority over all of the rest of the human race that would ever be born, and over all the handiworks of God over this earth and all the creatures in it, and to have dominion and to curse the likeness of God whom he hates with all the vengeance that's in him. Now he's in charge. But in just moments, I mean, man, whoo, he ain't had all day to think about it. God comes into that garden and says, what's been going on here? And he looks around and he makes an announcement, you know, to Bull of the Woods over here. And he says, I got some news for you. There's one coming that's going to put his heel on your head and dominate you, and he's going to take all from you. He's going to whip you and just leaves. Oh, and then Adam and his wife have a child. That may be him. They have another child. Maybe that's him. Oh, that's got to be him. Did you notice how he talks? He talks that faith stuff. He talks, you know, he talks like God. He's got one talks like, I got to kill him. That older one will do it for me. All down through the years, he's killing every one of them that tries to act like God. That might be the one. How would you like to live the next several thousand years with that hanging over your head? And the Bible said, listen to this now. This is in Romans, the 16th chapter. To him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience to faith. Now, it was a mystery. Satan didn't know about it. He couldn't see into it. Then what did he see when Jesus came? He thought, this must be him. I mean, I killed John the Baptist. I killed all these other prophets. I wiped them out, and they keep coming. I don't understand this, but I got to stay on the job because I got to stop this, whoever it is. This Jesus comes, and then suddenly something happens hadn't happened with any of the rest of them. There's a voice came from the most excellent glory when he's being baptized and said, this is my beloved Son. And he sees the Holy Ghost come down and come on him and this awesome power, and he couldn't get him to sin, and the battle is on. So what did he see at Calvary when Jesus went to that place of the cross? Never dreamed it would happen. Never thought I could be this lucky. But it's happened again. Them fools thought he blasphemed God. Those idiots did what I told them to do. I'm going to take him into hell. And I'm going to take him then. I'm going to imprison him forever. And I'm the champion. And they'll never take any more after him. He's the final one. He's all God has. He's the only begotten. He's the one that God is talking about. And I've won. I've won. And he sees the Son of the living God described in the book of Isaiah chapter 52 verse 14. Just as many were amazed over him, and princes on his account shuddered and were astonished and appalled and amazed and frightened. His visage or his form was so marred, unlike to a man, and his form unlike to the sons of man, so deformed was his appearance. He's talking about Jesus hanging on the cross. Not to be a man, and his figure no longer resembled a man. And he sees him twisted and pulled, and the force of sin and sickness and disease and curse and the fall of mankind begins to work in him and pulls and twists and mangles his body, and he dies this horrible, awesome death. And Satan, to his glee, hears him cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Satan thinks, they broke the covenant that he had with Abraham. I got him now. There ain't no way out. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he did it. And he can't have him back. And he takes him into hell. And the Bible says in the book of Acts that he was not left in hell so that his body would see corruption. And you find in the book of Acts that it states that he was in the pit, and he was released from the pains of death. He was not just in that place called paradise, as some have said, but the Bible said that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up where we're witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Praise the Lord. And he said that he raised him up in the 27th verse, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Then in verse 24, second chapter of the book of Acts, whom God, talking about Jesus, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. So Jesus was in that pit of hell, and he was there. He was in there suffering the penalty that man should suffer, but he bore our sins. He was made to be sins for us. And he came walking up out of that tomb after he had whipped Satan, took from him the authority that he trusted in, and the Bible said he stripped him and made an open show of him and an open show of principalities and powers. In other words, where that phrase comes from, an open show, they used to take defeated, conquered criminals, and they would take people that were conquered in foreign lands, and those Roman soldiers would bring them back under leash and bring them back on a chain and make an open show of them. And the people would hoot and holler at them because they'd been conquered. These were the slaves of a foreign land that had been conquered. And the Bible said, Jesus put a leash on the devil and made an open show of him triumphing over him in it. I want you to know he whipped him. He left him strangled, stomped, and worn out. He left him in the pit of hell destroyed. Praise God forevermore. He came up out of that tomb and he said, all power has been given unto me both in heaven and earth. I am the authority now. Now you go in my name and you cast out the devil. Now we're still looking in the eyes of the devil. And all of a sudden, something begins to happen on the day of Pentecost. I mean, he hears the sound of a rushing mighty wind. I mean, the devil is just now coming up out of his hole, man. And he's saying, whoa. I mean, he has been scrambled and poured out. He has been hit with all of the glory of God. Jesus has whipped him and literally left him standing stripped naked before all the principalities and the powers and rulers of darkness, and left him standing in the region of the damned, a naked, stripped of nothing, no power over the human race, no power that he got in the Garden of Eden. And here he hears this mighty and wild noise come. And he looks over there in Jerusalem, and suddenly he sees the Holy Ghost in his fire. The Holy Ghost in all of his fire and all of his glory come into that upper room. And he sat on them. He sat on them and it didn't kill them. He can't imagine this. I mean, the fire of God got on men before it'd kill you, brother. I mean, it'd knock you flat where you were. But something's wrong here, Satan's thinking. What's happening? How could he do that? And he sees them merged together with the Spirit of the living God, and they became one together. And he's thinking, what is this? And he sees men and women recreated. He saw them receive eternal life. He saw their sins removed and blotted out as if they had never been. He saw the power cast him out of heaven come into them, the Holy Ghost himself. He saw them receive the name of Jesus and become his masters through its authority. He saw them begin to heal the sick the same as Jesus had done. He saw them tears and the grief that he had caused over the years suddenly turned to joy. He saw his slaves shaking off their chains and his prisoners being set free. He saw them use the faith of God as their very own and as the very nature of God entered into the inside of them. He saw the fear and the doubt that he had enthroned in their hearts replaced with faith, love, and joy and freedom. He heard a new language of praise, a secret communication with God that they couldn't even understand. And he saw ordinary people become kings and priests. He had slain Jesus to annihilate him. And instead of him staying dead, he gave birth to a new race of men, righteous, holy, faith, Holy Ghost filled, healed, delivered, free men of compassion and grace. He saw righteousness work. God was their father and they were his own children. And one of them, just one of them, had just stomped him and removed all of his authority, and now he's faced with 120 of them and just like him, and they blew out into the streets, and suddenly there was 3,120 of them, and before the few days had gone by, there's 5,000 of them, and they're just rocking and reeling him backwards in every way, saying, Jesus is Lord. He's our deliverer. He's our king, and he's the king of kings and the Lord of lords. Satan, bow the knee in the presence child of the King. Hallelujah. That's who you are. Praise God. That's who you have the potential to rise up this moment and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Fill me with yourself. In Jesus' name, I receive you as Lord and Savior. I receive the fullness of the Spirit of God flowing through me. In Jesus' name. Pray that. Right now, pray it in the name of Jesus. And realize the same thing happening to you right now, happening on the day of Pentecost. And Satan's looking at you and saying, oh my God, here comes another one. Dear God, let's hide. He's up again.
Whoa, now wait a minute. You ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out. And don't try to jump around. Yeah, but I want... No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn. And then learn and pray and pray and learn. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next lesson.